This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang. It is currently 6 a.m. in the morning and it's Monday the 17th of August. So Chuang, how have you been? We haven't seen each other for a week.
It's been a long separation, my dear. I'm feeling all this angst in my heart that I haven't seen you for so long.
Smell in the air?
It's bullshit. Separation anxiety, darling.
Yeah, but anyway, I hope you did have a good weekend.
Yeah, it was good. Actually, it was a weekend replete with sports because I've got good news. I've got good news and bad news. Good news is that Ronnie O'Sullivan won his sixth world title in the Snooker World Championship. That's the good news.
I never understood that game, but never mind.
Oh my God, you've got to, it's amazing, right? But the bad news is that Manchester United dropped out of the Europa Championship. They were knocked out by Sevilla last night in the semi-finals.
Okay. And I believe there was also some F1 action, right?
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton. He's overtaken Schumacher in terms of top three positions.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm somewhat relieved that sport has continued in post-COVID-19 era.
Some normality has returned.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, my father might go up, start climbing the walls because there was nothing to... I mean, there's a limit to how much repeats you can watch on TV,
right? That's right, yeah.
But for me, of course, it was just the normal running and baking, like you always wonder I'm up to. But it was a very, very wet weekend, though.
It was. As opposed to being a very dry one, right?
Well, the weather, as usual with global warming, has been rather irregular. But what do we have on the roster today, Chuang? What are you going to be talking about?
Lots of stuff, but mainly to do with the fact that rich people are no longer the heroes they once were.
And they aren't?
No, they're not.
Nobody wants to aspire to be rich anymore?
According to some people. Okay. Some people, some quarters, certain parties.
Okay, and I'll be discussing how can you still foster a kind of community in a virtual office, which is becoming the new norm, right? But if you want to weigh in on our conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this song. BFM 89.9, that was Up on the Downside by Ocean Colour Scene. Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoning here with Koo Soo Chuang. And this is The Morning Run here with you till 10 a.m. Now, I think everybody, or at least quite a lot of us, always dream of being like rich, but not just rich, but super. Super duper rich, right?
Not really, though.
Quite a lot.
Quite a lot, yeah. I think when you're younger, you realize you want to be really, really rich, right? But then when you get older, you come and realize you can't spend all that money. And
Let me try.
There comes a point when you realize that money can't buy everything. You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
And the reason we're asking this question is because there's this article in the it's actually an opinion piece in The Guardian written by a presidential wannabe, but which failed, Mr. Bernie Sanders. And it's entitled, "The Pandemic is Helping the Rich Get Even Richer. It's Time to Tax Their Obscene Wealth." And despite this COVID-19 era, you know, where a lot of people are suffering, as in whether they're having pay cuts, deferments, or even they've lost their jobs. Some people, actually like Jeff Bezos, are getting even richer. So our friend is worth $189 billion. I mean, even the likes of any of the FANG bosses or any FANG employee which currently enjoys any share option scheme, I mean, they've just gotten richer in the last 6-7 months while the rest of the world is suffering. So the question is, for these really rich, super wealthy, should we consider raising taxes for them? What do you think, Chuang?
Well, there's this thing called the Americans for Tax Fairness. They want to impose a 60% tax on the wealth gains made by, and there's only just nearly, 470 billionaires in America. So if they impose this tax, it's going to raise $420 billion, and they want to use that money to pay like healthcare expenses, prescription drugs, and that kind of thing, right? But this whole debate between the haves and the have-nots is an age-old debate. And it's getting a lot of momentum in the world today, including in Malaysia. And it was also the centerpiece of, I think, a lot of European countries in the late 30s, when, obviously there was a lot of wealth divides as well. The issue is this, okay? Especially now, because the billionaires that have been making all this money are the ones that have made inordinate gains in efficiency because of the technological advances, the Teslas of this world, the Amazons of this world.
But a lot of it is also just due to share price appreciation, right? So then, let's say Jeff Bezos.
Yes, yes.
ultimately, his wealth is a lot of it is locked up in Amazon. And that's correct. The same with any tech billionaire.
Correct. So the thing is this, if you make advances, if you make business, if you make economies more efficient and you make things better in many ways because of technology, then you do decide, you do deserve to make that money, right? That is the centerpiece of capital, of the capitalist economy. And there are some months ago when Elon Musk, actually he tweeted that he was selling all his properties in America, I think 6 or 7 properties in America, because he didn't want to be holding those anymore. And he was on actually a podcast with Joe Rogan, and he said that in essence, right, billionaires have been victimized because of their wealth, but they've also created a lot of jobs and a lot of wealth in the economy.
I don't know how they are victimized. That's my issue.
Well, no, I think victimized is too strong a word, but they've been singled out, like Bernie Sanders now. And when you name someone in name in an op-ed, you know, across the pond, you are in a way victimizing them, right? And one of the few corporations in America that was hiring during the pandemic was Amazon.
Yeah.
Right? And as well as Walmart. And Walmart was also mentioned by Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, my only issue is, okay, you know, there's always this debate about taxation, right? Whether if it goes up too high, whether it kills the entrepreneur, whether it kills innovation, whether it then stops technological progress. You know, at what point is there a sweet spot whereby, you know, for me, I'm not saying that we shouldn't tax. My question is, the tax has to be efficient and it has to be put to good use. Okay, so it's both ways, right? So you want to have a fair taxation system because otherwise, and this goes back to another debate, whether you believe there should be some form of social security. And that has to be unfortunately paid for by tax. Otherwise, it's an impossible model. So, you know, for example, the Norwegians, right? They have one of the highest tax rates in the world. But when I talk to some of my friends from Norway, they're quite happy to pay the tax. Can you believe it? On the basis that they can see the benefits of the tax they pay.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I think in a way, the question is maybe not so much should you tax the rich, but is what we collect from taxation used well? And if it's used well, would there be less reasons for people to object paying tax? I think that would be the case. I would object less if I had known all the tax money I'm paying is put to extremely good use. There's transparency, there's efficiency, there's accountability, and it's really helping the sections of society that need it.
You're absolutely right. I couldn't have said it better myself, because in many parts of the world, including Scandinavia, you've got excellent public transport, excellent education, excellent healthcare, excellent schools and excellent police forces. In America, those institutions have been frayed and dissolved in many instances. Look no further than Australia, right? I think the richest people there, the highest income earners, pay about, 45% tax?
Yeah.
But in return, they get an excellent police. They've got excellent security, excellent healthcare, very clean, good infrastructure, public utilities, amazing, right? People will pay for those things.
So maybe it's not the tax rate, but how our taxes are being used, which is the bigger question. Yeah. Well, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Now stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Blame It on the Boogie by Jackson 5, an ultra cool song, right? I still have visions of them doing that video of theirs or performing with that kind of afro and Jackson looking so cute.
Yeah, he was so good looking. And then he had to go and do all that funny things with his, you know, skin and his hair. That guy could move, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. All the superstars seem to like crash and burn before their time.
Mm-hmm.
But today, this morning, we're talking about, you know, the new normal. And the new normal in the office in this post-COVID-19 era where, you know, some of us, I think, have come back to work, but some of us are still working from home. Or even in many cases, like at BFM, where we practice rotation. So not the whole office is in at the same time. So, of course, the question is, The Guardian is actually asking this question, and so are we. You know, how is your employer introducing a sense of community to this virtual office? How are we staying in touch and keeping that, you know, that kind of sense of community going again?
Yeah, that's something that nobody really has their finger on, right? But when you try and define community, what makes community? What drives cohesion among a group of people? It doesn't have to be physical. I think it can be a purpose. If you want to say, for example, if you're seekers of the truth, which is what journalists theoretically
seekers
are.
Seekers of the truth, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, journalists, they tend to be very Not naive. They tend to be quite, what's that word I'm looking for?
Idealistic.
Idealistic, that's right.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, journalists are idealists, right? Even well into the 60s and 70s, they want to see a better world. They want to see the truth emerge. They want to see the little guy come up, right? So that's what drives journalists. And this is something that Ho Kee Tat told me when I first joined journalism years ago, right? Ho Kee Tat is the editor of The Edge, Datuk lah, to you and me now. He said that he tried to dissuade me from being a journalist. I think he said to me later on, journalists anywhere in the world can get together in a press club and have a few drinks together and have a bit of a laugh because we're all united by the same thing, which is the truth.
That's true. But how do you continue that in this post-COVID-19 era? Because, you know, so much of, even like you say, when you drill down to, let's say, media or journalism, which we are kind of a hybrid of, right? How do you keep that kind of spirit going? Because, you know, the kind of communication has to happen almost like at the office usually, right? It's that face-to-face chats. It's that time spent together. It's the chemistry, right? And that, you know, that takes time to build. Does it get lost when it's gone in the virtual world, up there in the cloud? So let's say I, you know, for the team that isn't here in the office this morning, you know, I do miss them. And we do keep in touch via, of course, you know, our weekly calls, our daily calls. But there is still something missing. And I wonder whether there's any way possible to bridge that gap.
God, it's called House Party.
Because you're not supposed to.
No, it's the new app, is it? It's actually a lot of fun. I played it with my friends from Penang, right? We all got together on a Friday night, all apets, right? No shirt on, wearing glasses. That was really quite funny.
The no shirt on is kind of semi-frightening, Trump.
It's a Penang thing, like.
Okay. Yeah. Hot, right?
Hot.
And then too cheap to switch on aircon.
The windows are open, right? But then you play these pub quizzes, and then you can choose difficulty levels. And it's a huge laugh. And then you have your couple of glasses of, you know, wine or whatever, right? And then you forget that, you know,
COVID-19 is still here for the moment.
Geography exists. Yeah.
But I think also it's like you say, right? You wonder whether things will ever revert back to normal.
They will. People are forgetful creatures. They'll just take by the end of this year, there could be 2 to 5 vaccines already available.
We pray.
Yeah. And then people will just say, oh, you know what, right? The pubs in Bangsa and Sri Hatamas were berserk on Friday night.
Happening.
Full of people. No social distancing whatsoever.
Yeah, which concerns me, actually.
Absolutely.
But I think if we drill down in terms of what we or I can do, you know, as a team member, I think about how I can foster that sense of community. And I think one of which is, you know, this old-fashioned thing, which we seem to forget. Maybe we can't do it on a team basis, but on an individual basis, is this thing called the phone call. Remember those days?
When I try and call some of my BFM colleagues, they sometimes they don't pick up on me.
Yes.
Especially when I do video calls.
No, I don't like the video calls because I might still have my shirt on, but I may not
sometimes
have combed.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
But maybe I haven't combed my hair. But I will pick up a voice call. Unless I can't.
Except when you're in virtual mass, right?
Yeah, when I'm in virtual mass. But I think, you know, it's that little bit we can do to keep in touch with everybody. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's a WhatsApp, and, you know, or a little short email just to remind each other that, you know, we're thinking of you, of me, and the team. So let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin, and to take us there is Someday by The Strokes. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Good morning. I'm Shauni here with Khoo Swee Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. And that was Rebel Rebel by David Bowie. It's a song, obviously, written for Khoo Swee Chuang.
No, not at all.
No. I've been so very grown up and matured.
I've been a conformist my entire life.
Sorry, I couldn't help. Like,
come on. Sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, darling.
But now we're taking a look at what's happening around the world. And first off is actually the fact that the Democratic National Convention is on in the US because it is election season with what? I think less than 80 days to go.
Couple months and a bit.
Yeah, so very interesting times. So the Democratic National Convention kicks off today in Wisconsin and will run for 4 days. And this is essentially the official nomination party for Joe Biden's presidential run because, you know, it's pretty much I think, all, you know, guns blazing from now onwards, right?
Yeah, it's taken for granted that he is, but he's not official. He's the presumptive. So I think that at the DNP, they will officially name him as their candidate. And of course, Kamala Harris as well will also be announced. And she'll be speaking. All the big guns will be there.
They're not Barack, there physically, though.
No, they're not there physically. The first time ever that everybody dials in and it's all televised via all those software, right? Barack will be talking. Michelle will be there. Bernie's going to be there. Liz will be there as well. And of course, Bill and Hillary and Alexandra, you know, all first name basis. But
I just wonder how that, you know, how they're all going to be campaigning in this COVID-19 era. Because, you know, when you're used to seeing how they do it, right, it's like in a big hall, there's a lot of rah-rah speeches, and then suddenly you have all these balloons coming down from the ceiling. It's a big event in the US, but all this is changing because it's all just going to be very focused. It's going to be online. It's going to be streamed. Will that change the way people kind of digest politics? Why are you laughing, Chuang?
No, I'm just thinking about Joe Biden because this whole WFH thing and zooming in, it's good for him because, you know, because of his mental lapses.
Okay, that one I totally don't agree. There's nothing wrong with his mental lapses. There are no mental lapses.
By the way, there's a very...
You've really been incepted by Trump's messaging.
No, there's a very controversial tell-all story in Politico. Go and check it out about Barack Obama having private reservations about Biden's nomination.
How credible is this story from Politico? Politico is Politico. Exactly. But moving on, in the other part of the world is actually Belarus. I mean, their elections came out recently, and of course, it's, you know, there are a lot of controversy and protests over that because the incumbent, President Alexander Lukashenko, claimed victory with amazing 80% margin. And this, of course, has been disputed by his opponent, who says that if votes were properly counted, she would have actually got 60 to 70% support. And I've read lots of articles on them calling him Europe's last dictator.
Yeah, I just dare you to read his opponent's name.
Svetlana Tekhanovskaya, I think. I'm not very good at Russian names, I have to confess.
Balkan, actually.
Okay, Balkan.
Yeah. But I think because there's a lot of discontent in the country, okay? He ostensibly won those elections, in inverted commas, with an 80% margin. People don't seem to think so. There's all kinds of people, thousands of people, 200,000 actually, opposing his rule. He's a dictator after all. And I think the young people generally are quite disenchanted with him because of allegations of corruption, allegations of elitism. And these guys have been around a long time, right? Lukashenko is he's described as a fossil by various media. But the thing is, Belarus is very good friends with Russia. And Russia and Belarus, they share a border, but there are no border controls between those two countries. So Putin has said that he will provide military support to Belarus if things go further south. And that is a bit that's a bit scary, when you call in the army to deal with students.
Yeah, and closer to home, there is another student protest, and that's happening in Bangkok. But not just students. Thousands of protesters gathering yesterday to demand political reforms. And they want a revised constitution and also a reform of the monarchy, which is actually a very sensitive subject in Thailand. So it is these daily student rallies for the past few weeks. But organizers say they hope that Sunday's rally would show broader support for change beyond the student groups. I think also, once again, questions about how the economy is being dealt with in Thailand, because of course they're clearly impacted by COVID-19 with no tourism. 15% of GDP will hurt them very much. In fact, I think almost the whole finance, the minister, deputy minister, all resigned recently over questions of management of the economy. So I think, you know, this is also sparking another round of protests around the world.
Yeah, the whole world is rioting. America.
It's not rioting, just spots of it here and there.
Well, at the risk of generalizing, but yes. There's a lot of angry people in the world today.
Well, they have some reason to be. But let us know what you think about any of these stories or anything we've discussed this morning. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll take a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and the online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Now, don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. 89.9. I'm Wong Shaoning here with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run, and that was Let Forever Be by the Chemical Brothers. I mean, it was a band from like the 1990s, right?
Yeah, calling it a band would be a stretch of the imagination. They were more like an instrumental pop duo.
I like
not
that.
A band.
Not a band.
Not a band.
But before we take a look at the newspapers this morning, we've had some interesting tweets coming in. I'm looking at the responses to the article, which is The Guardian, where we asked, should we tax the super rich? And we've had two replies. So Rebel to Save the Environment says, yes, why not? And I kind of semi-agree with him, provided the tax is used properly. And Ng also tweeted in and says that investment income should be taxed like salary income. Those who argue about the chilling effects on business investment only have a point in an environment where interest rates are near zero. But I guess money is too cheap.
Well, when your Twitter handle is Rebel to Save the Environment, then I would presume that you would be in line with the camp to tax the rich, old chap. But I also do agree with you, manner and form, of course. Ro chimes in on WhatsApp with a typically erudite statement, saying that, as cliched as it sounds, all that money you spoke of earlier counts for little when you don't have health. And it's ironic how often in the pursuit of wealth, time to be healthy is the opportunity cost. They don't come together. Money and health, typically. Because you've got to sacrifice to be really, really wealthy. Typically.
And unfortunately, you might have all the money in the world, but sometimes there are no cures for you when you're not well.
And you're the healthiest guy in the world, but you ain't got a penny in the bank.
Yeah, it's true. They're not.
This is how,
That's how the cookie crumbles,
that's
right?
That's how it is.
Meanwhile, looking at the papers, I have the Star in front of me, and the Star is talking about health. Unfortunately, there is a new strain of highly infectious COVID-19 virus mutation that has been detected in Malaysia 1 month after it was exposed by scientists in US. So local health officials and experts are not pressing the panic button at the moment, but saying that this D164G strain can be arrested with proper measures in place. So once again, do the things you're supposed to do. Wash your hands. Practice that physical distancing. Don't just think that, because numbers are low in their 20s, I think 25 yesterday, doesn't mean we can just take things for granted.
Correct. The Edge Weekly is my chosen paper of choice this morning. And by far and away, the most interesting story in the paper is on page 12. Where Hong Kong's triads appear to have appeared in Hong Kong in Malaysia, because we've got a new chairman at INEX, three new directors, but the most prominent, of course, is this guy called Broken Tooth Koi. And he apparently is a former dragon head or head honcho of a triad that operated out of Macau. He was so famous that a movie was made about him by him, and he was played by none other than Simon Yam. The guy who was also at Ip Man, that fella.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at, still staying on the Star, and this is something I think we'll be following up, probably the station will be following out through the day and maybe even tomorrow. Is Sabahans to know today, court to decide on bid by 33 reps and EC to announce poll dates. So two things going on. One is EC announcement of the date of snap elections, and whether the High Court hearing of a bid by 33 assemblymen to put on hold the dissolution of the assembly. So, yeah, interesting stuff, because Sabah, as we know, snap elections coming around the corner. We still don't know the date, and it'll be interesting to know how they're going to actually campaign in this post-COVID-19 era. And, of course, who's going to be ultimately the chief minister.
Yeah, and that's the first state ministerial impasse since, I think, the late 80s. It's only ever happened twice in the state. For capital market observers, page 27 of the Edge Weekly suggests that Mr. DIY will be revisiting its IPO plans, apparently by the end of this year, October, November kind of time. And this is on the back of news that Bloomberg reported that they want to raise about $500 million from the float. They really postponed their listing twice. And I think the main sticking point was the fact that valuations were seen, even at the time, to be quite high.
And this is supported by the private equity fund Credor, right?
Yeah.
Who apparently is also considering listing CTOS.
CTOS, yes.
Yeah. So it looks like capital markets might be a little bit more interesting this year, because I do believe Mr. DIY is going to be one of the biggest in Asia. It's been very, very quiet, especially on the Malaysian front. Not quiet. We've had some small listings, but nothing the size of Mr. DIY. I think it'll be good to have some capital market kind of movement, although I would say retail trades are at an all-time high and there are question marks about the sustainability about that, whether retailers know what they're doing, and there are a few articles on that in the papers, actually.
Well, page one of the NST Business is exactly that. Investors caught up in speculative activities? Question mark. And analysts are saying that correction should normalize trading behavior. So, yeah, there's been record trading velocities, but it ain't going to last forever.
Well, that's all from the papers we have this morning. Coming up next is a 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis, where we'll be speaking to Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader E. But first, here's Everlasting Light by the Black Keys. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.